Welcome, everybody, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm your host, Sean, stacking the green with my partner in picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. Ryan, what's happening?
Oh, not much. It's been a while.
Yep, been a while. I was out there hanging out in Canada, watching some Canadian football. And have you ever watched like a CFL game?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. It's not bad. But the annoying thing is that you only get three chances to get a first down.
Yep.
Which I don't get that.
I mean, there's also the giant end zone, the 20-yard end zone.
Yeah, it's like they just went out of their way to make different rules, but not just so that they're slightly different, like 110-yard field instead of 100 yards. Yeah, the bigger end zone. The bigger end zone's cool, but the three downs, all it does is just lead to increased punting. I don't really see how that serves the game.
You know, man, can you imagine if the NFL had a 20-yard end zone? There'd be so many more touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I guess the 20-yard end zone is cool as far as, like, scoring touchdowns, but I think it does make the goal line a little more exciting because that's part of the difficulties. It kind of compresses your playbook. You can't, you know, kind of crowds things around, makes it a little more interesting passing the ball.
They also allow motion towards the line, kind of like arena football.
Yeah, you can get a running start, which I think that would just be insane with the way NFL is now.
Imagine Calvin Johnson getting a running start.
Yeah, I mean, the rules are so much in favor right now for the receivers as is. If you gave them a running start, they'd be unstoppable.
Yeah, I mean, it's typical Canada, right? They just, I don't know, every Canadian I talk to just wants to talk about how much they love Canada more than the United States.
Yeah, like, they have this inferiority complex. Maybe it's our fault for just always pointing out how we're number one. But they definitely seem like, oh, hey, Canada. They're like every 10 seconds. I feel like basically everyone I talked to at some point, a conversation about Canada came up, and you know what kind of cool, unique stuff Canada has going on. It's like, I get it. You guys are doing it right for yourselves. So we applaud you.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. That's why all their that's why like 90% of their population is like 20 miles from the U.S. border. It totally makes sense how awesome Canada is.
Well, and I think it's just unlivable if you go, you know, more north than that. It's just like Arctic tundra.
You can't not factor that in.
Right. Yeah, the fact that the majority of your country is not livable, I think, does count against you. Oh, man. Oh, well, speaking of receivers, Ryan, Randy Moss out in San Francisco looking for a fresh new start. Supposedly, early reports are he's looking pretty good, making the cuts, blowing by guys in practice. What do you think, Ryan? Over under on Randy Moss receptions this year?
Receptions? All right. I wonder what the line is. I wonder if there is a line. I'd have to say, I mean, here's the thing. The Niners went out and signed Mario Manningham and Randy Moss, two deep threats, two vertical threats for a team with a quarterback who doesn't seem to like to throw it downfield and doesn't seem to be able to throw it downfield. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd say I'd probably set his over-under right around like 77 maybe.
Wow, 77 receptions.
Yeah.
So you think he's going to definitely make a huge impact and be in the top part of this league?
I mean, everything you read said he's still got it. And honestly, the way they play offense, there's going to be a lot of play action. He's still not afraid to go across the middle. I could see him, you know, averaging 6 to 7 catches a game.
All right. I'm gonna take the under just because, like you said, who they got at quarterback. What's his name? Alex Smith. I think Alex Smith might have trouble getting him the ball. You also have another diva on the team, Vernon Davis, who requires a lot of carries. You also got Frank Gore, who you would be remiss not to feed the ball to. You also have a very controlling coach. And I think eventually stuff's going to happen where the coach is just going to be on Moss. And, you know, Belichick is like the only coach that Moss has respected his entire time in the NFL, so I think as much as he's acting like he's got it all put together, if the 49ers hit any sort of speed bump or whatever, I don't think it's going to be a great year for Moss.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, it's just
the physical ability has never been his problem. I just don't think the way this 49ers team is set up right now, I don't think he is going to be able to handle being second banana to Vernon Davis and Frank Gore.
Well, the crazy thing too is they are the third favorite team to win the Super Bowl this year.
Wow.
And if you can find somewhere to bet against that, I would love, I mean, so they're plus 800. So let's assume you can find somewhere that's going to offer you minus 800 or even minus 1,000. They're not winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I feel like that's a good bet. I don't even know if they would offer stuff like that, but well, yeah, I mean, minus 1,000, then if they do get to the Super Bowl, you can just bet against yourself, right?
Yeah, it's just, I mean, you wouldn't be able to get a great hedge, but it just seems like people are really high. They're 4-1 to win the NFC. It just doesn't, wow. It seems like they had a perfect run last year. Everything went right. They could have went right.
Right.
I guess the things you have going against you is they play in a crappy division. They're probably going to be in the playoffs. But at the end of the day, you need a quarterback. Look at the last 12 Super Bowl winners. How many of those teams had quarterbacks that weren't primetime quarterbacks?
I mean, you take the Giants out of the picture and...
here we go.
No, I'm not...
So as much as you hate Eli Manning and don't respect him, I mean, Alex Smith is not even near the level of quarterback Manning is.
Yeah, obviously, Eli Manning, much better quarterback, as much as it pains me to say that. I don't know. It's weird. I don't see them not winning that division. So that means if they're winning the division, they have a decent shot of getting that first round bye, possibly one or two home games.
All right, let's just go through. So just the NFC. So the Packers are favored over them, 3-1.
Okay.
They're 4-1. Eagles are 5-1. I would take the Eagles against the Niners in a matchup. So let's just say NFC Championship game. I take in San Francisco. I would take the Packers over them. I would take the Eagles. The next group of teams are the Giants, Saints, and Bears. Maybe you don't take the Saints because they're not as great on the road. But I would take the Bears over them. I would take the Giants over them.
I would take the Giants. I don't know the Bears. The Bears are one of those teams where it's like, yeah, they got everything together, but they strike me as kind of a snake-bitten team. And as much as I think Jay Cutler is a good quarterback and has the abilities, he does seem to have a little bit of Tony Romo in him. And I don't know. I would take the 49ers at home against the Bears.
Well, speaking of Tony Romo, the Cowboys coming in at 12-1 to win the NFC.
Wow.
That's another one. If you could somehow find somewhere to – all right. I could say this for sure. I would put a year of my salary up that the Cowboys are not winning the NFC. The Cowboys might not even make the play. The Cowboys might be the worst team in their own division.
How can you be 12-1 when you've won one playoff game in how many years since they won the last Super Bowl, which was what, 93?
I mean, it's
they've won one playoff game in 19 years.
Yeah, and look,
you're putting them at 12-1 to win the conference. I mean, I get it. There's probably a lot of people, a lot of dopey people who are like, oh, they were one play away. But that's been the story the entire time with Tony Romo. You can't just say last year was a fluke. They were one play away. They've been one play away since they've had Tony Romo.
The game where the Giants were down 12 with like 6 minutes to go pretty much epitomizes Tony Romo's career.
That wasn't even – people are forgetting the Seattle debacle in the playoffs. I mean, there are guys who, as cliche as it sounds, there are guys who don't have it. And yeah, this is probably some of my Cowboys bias, but I haven't seen it for Tony Romo at all. And it's not like he just has these occasional flubs or these freak plays. Like, okay, that field goal holding, okay, maybe that could happen to anyone. That's a freak play. Miles Austin losing in the light, okay.
He
overthrew it first off. He was trying to save his quarterback. But when you have a consistently bad record in December and January, there's something to that.
Well, a lot of fluky plays combined over, what, 8 years at this point?
Right.
Maybe
it's not a fluke.
6 years?
It's not a fluke if it's consistent. And consistently, the Cowboys have not been able to prove themselves in December or in the playoffs the times they've gotten into the playoffs.
It's hard to measure clutchness, but Tony Romo's not clutch.
Yeah, I mean, just look at the Eagles, who've had a decent run under Andy Reid. Look at their record in December and January. I mean, look at the Giants, especially their two Super Bowl runs.
You want to talk about clutch.
Yeah. You can say what you
Backs
want.
Backs against the wall.
But really, we're living in a world where your schedule doesn't really count until you get to the second half of November and December.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, you go into the last six games of the season, you're 5-5. Not only are you in it to make a playoff run, you're in it to win the Super Bowl. As the Giants showed us, going 9-7, first 9-7 Super Bowl winning team, they actually had less – they scored less points – than they allowed in the regular season. I feel like that's got to be some kind of...
But they won their two unofficial and four official playoff games. I mean, I guarantee Tony Romo will never do that in his career.
I would be shocked. There is something to that. That yeah, I don't know. I mean, he just doesn't have that ability to win late or win in the clutch.
Did you see what Jerry Jones said?
In regards to who?
To the Cowboys this season, and more locally, the Cowboys Giants opening season game. They're gonna come in and lay a giant ass whooping. It's like Jerry Jones. When's he gonna figure out that his team clearly doesn't respond to his drunk banter?
Yeah, I don't know if any owner has really been able to motivate a team, with the exception of like a guy like Mark Cuban, who I feel like the players generally respect. No ownership, like, talk or whatever has seemingly helped or inspired the team.
Well, so, yeah, if you look at teams with boisterous owners, with the exception of Jerry Jones in the 90s and Mark Cuban, I mean, and I guess George Steinbrenner, most of the time that shit doesn't work.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't think that the 90s run of the Cowboys needed motivation, okay? I mean, Michael Irvin was coked out of his brain. I doubt he was listening to Jerry Jones. He was just busy hooking up with prostitutes and wearing fur coats and catching touchdowns.
It just
passes.
Seems like in the NFL, I mean, look at the consistently good teams. The ownership kind of sits in the back and just does. I mean, look at the Colts owner. I mean, that guy came off Ursa. Like a giant dick beater last year.
Yeah, what did him, all those tweets, all the media speculation, did that help anything with the exit of Peyton Manning? Everyone knew what they were going to do. You could have just went about it the classy way. I mean, Peyton Manning built that stadium, rebuilt that city to a certain degree.
Not to a certain degree. He rebuilt that as a sports town. I mean,
exactly.
And that was a basketball state and a basketball city until Peyton Manning showed up.
Yeah, the Colts had a similar. It's funny, like the Colts and the Patriots, when I was a kid, those were like the notoriously awful teams in the AFC. Both got turned around in a similar time period, and both of it, you can just owe almost all of it to their star quarterback. I mean, with the exception of New England and Belichick, and obviously the Colts had some pretty good coaching over the years as well, but. Yeah, that you're not helping your cause there as an owner.
Yeah, just look. I mean, look at the good teams. All the owners, Steelers, Eagles, Giants, Patriots. The owners just kind of
let they're the team... pretty. You don't know them. You don't know anything.
Well,
you
know them, but you know Robert Kraft, but you know that Robert Kraft's not going to run his mouth like an idiot.
Exactly.
Maybe he'll go down to the Bahamas and shake his ass with some nice 22-year-old chicks after his wife dies.
Yeah, you know he'll leave his dying, his peds, or his, whatever, he left his wife's deathbed to settle the NFL strike.
Yep.
Now that's a real man, Ryan. Just leave
I mean, look at it. If you look at any move Robert Kraft's made, like all these questions, people are giving him shit for like partying with these young women. Yeah, I mean, I would do the same thing. You're the owner of the Patriots, and your
it's
wife's
hard to
dead.
Be a multimillionaire. Yeah, hey, this man's grieving, all right?
Yeah, what are you gonna fuck a dead girl? No.
Exactly. He's not a necrophiliac. He's a human being, for Christ's sake.
I mean, that would be a more shocking story.
Yeah. What do you want him to do, stuff his wife and put her in the back seat and put his arm around her?
Yeah.
It's time to move on. And if you're going to move on, you're a multimillionaire. Why go after some cougar? You know, you can go after some young tail.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan, well, let's see here. We got so much NFL to talk to.
Should we quick talk about Penn State?
Oh, sure, sure. Let's get into it about Penn State.
Touch on that real quick.
Oh, whoa. Pun intended, yeah. Ryan. Okay, of course, they took down the Joe Paterno statue. $60 million fine sanctioned out by the NCAA. Also, now they're not eligible for bowls.
Five years. Reduction of overall scholarships and per-year scholarships. And I got to say, these kids who are these players who are holding strong and staying at Penn State, complete retards. Almost as retarded as Penn State for putting a clause in Bill O'Brien's contract that extends his contract 4 or 5 years automatically if sanctions were placed on the team.
Yeah, well, I think they probably, who knows? They were finding a new coach when all this was going down, so... I think maybe it would have been tough to get a coach without that some sort of...
You could have gotten a coach. I guarantee you anyone's going to take a head coaching position at Penn State.
Well, obviously...
Now they're on the hook for like an extra $20 million.
Obviously, in hindsight, the Penn State athletic department has made a lot of bad decisions.
Well, what I don't get... growing up in New Jersey, I know a fair amount of people who went to Penn State. You went to Penn State. It's remarkable how many people are still defending Joe Paterno.
Yeah, I know.
Like there were various news clips when the kids were out, like sitting and sleeping by the statue, and the occasional person would come by and be like, you know, start a little verbal tiff, and just hearing these kids, you know, defend Joe Paterno, saying things like, "Oh man, leave him," you know, you don't know what you're talking about. He told his superiors. It's like that's.
I thought he was in on it from day one. That's what I said from day one when this broke. I said this could not have happened without the help of Joe Paterno. But okay, I at least understand people wanting to give him the benefit of the doubt. But now that the doubt's been removed due to this free report, and then people are trying to question the free report, I think there's a Facebook group that had 70,000 likes, which who knows? I mean, that's probably all horseshit. But regardless, had 70,000 likes of people wanting ESPN to apologize for dragging Joe Paterno's name through the mud.
I mean, if anything, I feel like they didn't drag it through the mud enough. They've done worse to people who did a lot less.
Yeah.
I mean, you could argue that ESPN is responsible for really destroying Terrell Owens' character when Terrell Owens, he said some dumb shit, but he doesn't drink, he doesn't do drugs, he doesn't, you know, he doesn't, like, beat up women. He doesn't do anything. He just runs his mouth.
But, I mean,
ESPN's made him look out to be a bad guy.
Right.
Whereas Joe Paterno, I don't think they've made him out to be a bad enough guy.
I think it also is tough because you got a 72-year-old guy who's dead.
I don't care.
No, I mean, I'm not defending it. I'm just saying from their standpoint, it's like, what else are you going to say? The guy was obviously a coward. Yeah, I mean, it's just almost mind-boggling that he was so active in this cover-up. And, yeah, I mean, it's insane. And, yeah, just going to Penn State, there was this just kind of crazy brainwashed culture. And when this comes out, I mean, obviously I was very, very surprised. But to a smaller degree, I wasn't surprised. Or wasn't surprised that this was able to happen just because everyone is just so rah-rah-rah on board and not questioning any decisions. And that's why... That's why they deserve to be punished, because you can't just let this, you know, benevolent dictator come to rise and just not, you know, and give one guy free reign like this. Because eventually, if you let a guy in charge of any business for 55 years without questioning his authority, there's going to be, just inevitably, there's going to be some fucked up shit that happens. And if he has no one else to report to, he's, you know what I mean? Like, that's, you can't run a business like that. No large-scale operation.
Yeah, I mean, that's why big companies have boards. That's why democracy works better than, old school monarchical rule.
Imagine if there was a president for 55 years who his authority was not questioned. You don't think stuff would get swept under the rug? Of course.
I mean, look at Cuba. Look at North Korea. They aren't exactly thriving. But I think you're overcomplicating things. I think it's just simply he harbored and enabled a serial rapist for 20 years.
Yeah.
More, probably.
Yeah. I would just have...
If I was, like, an editor, some sort of high-ranking position at ESPN or a new... That's how I would have spun the story. I would have spun it, this man harbored a serial rapist.
Yeah, I mean, he did. He was the ultimate enabler. He let him not go to jail. He provided him still access to the school. He was flying his guests to bowl games after he retired.
Yeah, I mean, you...
That were children.
Jerry Sandusky was essentially Buffalo Bill with children and no murder. And for some reason, he's not being cast in the same shadow or in real life. You know, any of the really, really horrible serial killers over the years or serial rapists, what he did is probably worse.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, obviously it's worse to do it to a child. It's never good in any sense, but... Yeah, I don't know. It's hopefully the president, Graham Spaniard, faces criminal charges. Hopefully the athletic director and all these guys
go to jail. How do
they not serve?
I mean, that's like that's got to be minimum 5 years in jail, right?
I think what they were originally charged with, it was obstruction of justice. Now, you know, I think a lot of it could vary as far as the sentencing. I don't know how that works because... I think they factor in what did you obstruct. You know what I mean? Like, it's different.
But obstruction of justice on, 40 counts?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Tim Curley and the other guy are going to get charged with more stuff. Graham Spaniard has not been charged yet. I think they're investigating how to charge him or what the angle would be. But, yeah, man, it's just crazy, and it's just, yeah, it's sad. And I do feel bad for the Penn State football players or some of the fans, but it's hard to feel bad for the fans when they still defend Joe Paterno. It's like, I get it. You guys, you just have to accept the fact that Joe Paterno was not the guy you thought he was, and that you're still a fan of football and of Penn State College, but you're not a fan of Joe Paterno. And just accept that, shit on Joe Paterno, and move on. To just continually defend Joe Paterno, you lose all sympathy.
Yeah, I mean, Bobby Petrino, who was the coach of Arkansas, who crashed his motorcycle while riding with like an intern or something like that, got less support from those fans than Joe Paterno.
Yeah,
this is crazy.
I mean, he just started there, but still.
I know, but it's just...
Yeah, on the moral spectrum, stepping out on your wife is much more forgivable in my mind than what Joe Paterno did. Yeah, yeah, the people that still defend Joe Paterno is just insane.
Yeah.
And I understand you want to defend the university or just
it's
say...
done. You have to... That's kind of one of those... It's the lost cause. It's, you know, it sucks, but guess what? Penn State's going to suck at football for the next 10 years.
Yeah, and as much as it sucks for the players and for the fans, you need to really go out of your way to tarnish Joe Paterno's legacy. And I know it's not fair to say, oh, the players weren't a part of this, or, hey, those players that play those games don't deserve to have that win invalidated, but in a way, you just need to make Penn State feel they made this man a god. Now you have to deal with the fact that this man was not a god, and this guy that you continually defended. If the school would have just been like, "Wow, this is awful, Joe Paterno, you're a piece of shit," and turned their back on him once the evidence came out, I think national support for Penn State and the football players would be much more, and maybe even the sanction would be less. But you have the Penn State students like rioting because they fired Joe Paterno. I mean, that's why you're getting sanctioned more than maybe you would have if you would have immediately tried to distance yourself from Joe Paterno and said, "Hey, this isn't what we support, blah blah blah, he's not the man we thought he was." No one has said that.
Yeah, and the students are calling, like, all the guys that are transferring, they're calling them quitters and deserters. It's like, no.
No, I mean, yeah. When I signed up for Penn State football, I was signing up to play for a Big Ten team that was bowl eligible, that would be competitive, that would, you know, it's like you didn't hold up your end of the bargain, Penn State.
Yeah.
And also, these guys are playing for free, and you're going to give them shit, especially the incoming freshmen.
Yeah.
I understand if you're a junior, okay, whatever.
Finish your career.
Yeah, and I understand if you're not a pro prospect. And for whatever reason, you have a lot of pride. Maybe you're making a stand by saying, "Hey, our football program's bigger than this scandal." That's fine.
No, it's not.
But I don't think if you left Penn State, you should be ridiculed.
I mean, if you came out of college and got a job at a company, and that company didn't stop paying you, you're going to leave. You're not going to stick around because you're loyal.
Right. The only incentive they have is that you're going to be on a good team, and that you're going to go to bowl games and get your name out there. Or, yeah, they totally didn't hold Penn State. When you sign up for that Penn State program, you sign up knowing, hey, this is X, Y, and Z. Not only is he not the football coach, but how far they've been disgraced and all the sanctions, I think it's totally reasonable. And I think that's why it is funny, though, that USC got, like, the big prospect from...
I mean, he's not even that good. They're making a big deal about this running back. He's all right, but, I mean, we're not talking about a...
Right. It's just funny how it came full circle and how USC...
Well, and then...
USC sanctions was Reggie Bush essentially not paying back a loan to his agent. That the agent just fronted him money, like...
They had bought a house for him or paid rent for a house.
Yeah, I mean, well, did that really... He wasn't so good that they were giving him money before he came to that college. Am I wrong? I mean, I don't know. Maybe he was, but still.
Lost in the shuffle is USC actually violated some rules in recruiting Silas Red. They one of the quarterbacks on USC was a high school teammate of Silas Red, and I guess he called him on the phone, which... crazily is a violation of USC or of NCAA recruiting rules. It's like you can't call your friend and say, "Hey, come play football with me."
Yeah, no, the NCAA is so totally dumb. Totally arbitrary, and it's Yeah, I mean, how do they, what do they, wiretap the phone? I'm not allowed to talk to my friend on other teams?
Well, they didn't prep the kid. He actually talked to the press and said he talked to him.
Well, see, that you're kind of hurting your case there. But, yeah, Penn State got sanctioned, and deservedly so. I don't know what you can really do to make things right. Oh, my God, I heard this Bonnie, what's her name? She's a chick, Bonnie something, reports on football.
Bernstein.
Bonnie Bernstein was saying that they should leave. She was arguing they should leave the Joe Paterno statue up as a discussion piece for sexual abuse. Like, what? That is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, it's like, look. I know, that's why women stand on the sideline and ask stupid questions, because when they try to be smart, they say dumb shit.
No, that does not start a discussion. Yeah, look at this guy they made a statue of because he allowed sexual abuse to go on for decades. How does that...
Someone should have asked her, hey, so if you got raped by a guy who had a statue, would you want that statue to remain up?
Almost worse, though. Like I've said this the whole time, it's almost worse what Joe Paterno and Penn State administration did. I mean... Yeah, Jerry Sandusky is a broken human being. You know, Joe Paterno and these Penn State administrators, by all accounts, not sociopaths. And that's the real tragedy, is when good people don't do anything, or good and decent people don't turn a blind eye. Because there are always going to be bad people. There are always going to be sociopathic people. But to turn a blind eye to it, that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean...
And Ryan, most important...
That's not the Batman way.
Ryan, most importantly, I think we hit our under on Joe Paterno dying once the scandal broke.
Now, it's funny you said that. I brought that up to some people at work, and they thought it was inappropriate. But I did mention that the line was 18 months.
Yeah. Oh, we definitely hit the under.
Yeah.
So
it's classic. These old guys, they stop coaching, they just die.
Yeah, and you add all this. Oh, and then I love even like the last kind of angle you could try and take was that Joe Paterno was just this figurehead who was out of his mind and they were just propping him up. But then you see all this stuff coming out that he, like, as soon as the grand jury started investigating, he renegotiated his contract so that if he got fired after the 2011 season, he'd be paid like $9 million more in bonuses, get use of the private jet and all this. Like, he was a conniving person.
Yep.
And, well, I don't know. Hopefully, yeah, I guess maybe one day the Penn State football program moves on for their sake. And Ryan, let's just get back to the NFL. We can touch on baseball, but I think there's not a lot of storylines going on right now.
Well, Sean.
Phillies, their fire sale. They're throwing in the towel. Not looking good for me hitting my 92-win over.
No, it's not looking good for you. The baseball season is kind of ramping up. Trade deadline just passed. And now, you know.
Phil's fire sale. Not looking good, but yeah, I don't know. Phillies aren't looking good, but American League, you know, Yankees look like they're going to take it once again. Angels are kind of kicking around.
Angels are looking good. Rangers, it looks to be a three-team race right now.
So far, it looks to be your usual suspects. Surprise, I guess, in the NL is that Pirates. The Phillies aren't there and that the Pirates are really seemingly doing pretty well. The Nationals, obviously, the Nationals, huge surprise as well.
Yeah, I'll be going to a Nationals game on Friday night.
Oh, yeah.
Flying into the East Coast. Going to get picked up at the airport and go straight to the Nationals game.
Oh, yeah. Nationals-Yankees?
No, it's Nationals-Marlins, I want to say.
Oh, you flying into Florida?
No, you're going to D.C. Yeah, just going to be, just happen to be there. So figured check out the park. Heard it's a pretty cool ballpark.
Yeah, and they got a couple young prospects. They're playing really well. It'll be interesting to see if they actually keep Strasburg on this supposed pitch count, if they're making a run here in the playoffs, yeah. Which seemingly they will be, unless some kind of catastrophic hits. Okay, Ryan, I can't talk about baseball. I mean, training camp's open. I'm just football's in my brain right now. It's just itching at me. All right, let's break down the Hall of Fame game. Do we have a line, Ryan?
Do we have a line? What kind of silly question? Of course we have a line. So it's the Arizona Cardinals versus the New Orleans Saints, of course, in Canton, Ohio. Who's getting inducted this year? Do we know?
I don't know. No one.
Are there going to be great, like, tearful speeches?
Well, I'm gonna have to take the under on a Hall of Fame bus involving a do-rag because Deion already got inducted. That was pretty hilarious when he had the do-rag on it.
That's he's unbelievable.
It is great.
Anyway, the line.
Oh, and speaking of Deion, Ryan, did you see the new NFL Sunday ticket? commercials already coming out.
They with Little Dion?
With Little Dion? Oh, yeah. Did you see the other fairy that's with him?
I'm not seeing him. Oh,
Eli Manning.
No. Yeah. Yes. Oh, damn it.
Eli Manning flying around like a little fairy. It delighted my heart. It was one of the few things that I've been able to hold on to. I was taking this really shitty flight home from United. You can check about it on my blog. I went off on them pretty hard. I just remember, like, there was crazy turbulence. And I actually thought I was going to get sick, which I normally don't get sick. And I look in for the air sickness bag in the United, like, magazine pouch. There was none there. I ended up just pulling out the SkyMall. And on the SkyMall cover is an autographed helmet from Eli Manning. Nice. I'm like, you motherfuckers.
Yep.
Why would they do that on a SkyMall? Basically, you're just angering every other NFL fan except the Giants fans. Like, that doesn't seem like a good idea. You seem like you turn off a lot of people to your SkyMall magazine.
Super Bowl champion.
I guess, but are there fans out there that are just fans of the Super Bowl winner? Like, I just love whoever wins the NFL.
I mean, better question, are there people that actually buy stuff from SkyMall?
No. Here's another question. It seems like, as these kind of quote-unquote dynasties emerge, the Giants have won a couple in a row, but it doesn't seem like, like in the early 90s, Cowboys, they like a lot of bandwagon fans jumped on. I don't see many bandwagon fans jumping on the New York Giants. Now, I guess we're not in the New York area. Maybe we don't notice it as much. It seems like they won two Super Bowls relatively close to each other, and yet there's like no real talk about Eli Manning winning his third Super Bowl. It seems like it's all focused on will Tim Tebow play quarterback?
Yeah. Yeah, it's and Sanchez news came out today that Sanchez is okay coming off the field for goal line packages.
Yeah, what's he going to say? I'm sure he's super pissed, and I guess that's why they brought him in, is to piss off Mark
Apparently
Sanchez.
The crowd up in New York, or up in wherever, out in Long Island, is already, every time Tim Tebow has made a bad pass, I guess they're booing the shit out of him. Then they're like, that's why you're number two.
His throwing motion just looks so uncomfortable.
All right, Sean.
All right, let's break down over, the Hall of
under,
Fame game.
Oh, no, over under. Number of games before Tim Tebow gets the starting nod.
Starting nod. See, that's tough. I think you're going to have to see.
I'm setting the line at 6.5 games.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll take the over then. I think they got too much money locked up in Mark Sanchez. Rex Ryan is not one to admit mistakes, so I think he's going to wait. He's got to wait till at least closer to halfway through the season before hitting the panic button.
If they start 1-5, well, look out.
Yeah, no, I guess it's possible.
If they start 0-3, that crowd is going to be on. And Sanchez has already shown he does not deal well with the New York media.
Yeah, and Sanchez is this real enigma. I mean, he showed amazing poise winning 4 road games, 2 in each year, back-to-back, taking him to back-to-back AFC championships.
Only his 4th year, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. He's one of these guys, too, that has shown that he can win in the clutch, but you still don't believe in his poise for some reason. I don't know what it is. He doesn't seem to have that mental toughness.
Yeah, I trust Joe Flacco more than him, which is...
Well, you know who I was thinking about? I was thinking about this a little bit. I think Matt Ryan is kind of the next Tony Romo. I was kind of...
Every year they want to make it seem like he's a guy, like an MVP candidate.
I kind of almost like I used to be the other way around. I used to think Joe Flacco was total garbage, and Matt Ryan was like kind of the truth. But now I'm kind of going the other way. If I had to pick between those two quarterbacks right now, I might take Joe Flacco.
I don't know. I think I'd still take Matt Ryan, even though he can't win a big game, because Joe Flacco can't win any games. He needs a really good team around him.
Yeah, but I like Joe Flacco's toughness. I think I mean, Matt Ryan did really well in the Dome and in Atlanta, but they got worked. They got worked in a Jersey against the Giants last year.
Goodness.
They got destroyed at home against the Packers. Obviously, some of that's their defense, but I like Joe Flacco. I think for the most part that he kind of has the team. They kind of rally around him, and that performance he put up against the Patriots in New England, I thought was very impressive. The way. I think that he kind of separated himself in that AFC Championship game.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And, I mean, I don't think as everyone likes to talk about how the Giants got in by luck by those 2 muff punts by San Francisco. I think you really have to focus that New England got in kind of pretty lucky by having a Cundiff miss that, what was it, 27 yards?
Yeah.
I mean, I was really stoked because I had parlayed those.
Well, and the drop touchdown pass. I mean, that's a real fluky play.
Yeah, and Flacco placed the ball where it had to be in the AFC Championship game on the road against the Patriots. I got to be honest, I was pretty impressed with Joe Flacco's performance in the playoffs. I know we had really hated on him last year especially, but I think he kind of stepped up, and that's why I kind of like the Ravens to really make a move here in the AFC North.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good analogy. Matt Ryan is Tony Romo.
Yeah, and that's what he strikes me as, a guy who's able to rack up big stats, look great.
Especially win a lot of regular season games.
Especially at home, in the dome, favorable conditions. And yeah, I don't think that dome's helping Matt Ryan at all.
I mean, they got undressed by the Giants last year in the playoffs.
That was, what was it, like 24-2? It was some weird score.
24-2.
All right, Ryan, what else we got? What were we getting to, the Hall of Fame game?
All right, so Cardinals facing off against the Saints in Canton. What do you think the line is, Sean?
I'm going to say Cardinals -3.
All right, it's Saints -2.5.
Okay.
Now, speaking of the Saints, did you see what the owner did in their practice facility?
No.
He put up a giant 30x30 banner of Sean Payton looking down on the field.
That's very creepy.
A couple of players have already commented that it's very creepy.
Yeah, and wasn't he all... Yeah, that seems hilarious. Also, what happened to that whole listening device scandal being investigated by the FBI?
What happened to the GM being suspended? He's still, like, negotiating contracts. I don't understand.
Think it's weird. I think it starts, for whatever reason, on day one of the season.
Oh, so Sean Payton's was a year, but Mickey Loomis was only 8 weeks?
Yeah, and his starts in game one, when basically
strange.
The GM, I mean, the GM, all their work is being done off season, right?
Yeah.
I mean, for the most part. Obviously, they do stuff during the season, but the bulk of your work.
I don't know. It's
The whole thing's freaky. I mean, I think they came down a little bit hard on the Saints. I think you could have done everyone involved 8 games, and that would have sent the message and would have been at least not crippling.
They finally
to the
signed
team.
Drew Brees.
Yeah, I mean, the Saints haven't helped themselves out either.
So who are you taking in this game?
I really like the Cardinals going into this Hall of Fame game simply because the quarterback competition between Kevin Cobb.
Yeah, Skelton's going to get a lot of reps.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's Skelton, you're getting the Arizona starter. You're getting him into the third and probably fourth quarter. I wouldn't be surprised if, is Kevin Cobb going to play? They usually do, I think, because Kevin Cobb's kind of competing.
They'll probably each play like a quarter and a half.
I think they're going to let Kevin Cobb play a little bit more because they're still looking for stuff out of him. So I wouldn't be surprised if he goes halfway through the first. And, I don't think the third-team quarterback comes in until the fourth quarter. And you also got Skelton, who is obviously the second-string quarterback right now. But really, he was the starter for the majority of the time last year for the Cardinals. So I think that gives you a real advantage.
Yeah, we should also start I'm going to give you a guy to look out for, a little fantasy alert here.
Sure.
Arizona Cardinal fans, look out for Ryan Williams. A little biased on my part, Virginia Tech product, but
I was like, he sounds like Virginia Tech.
Was looking really awesome. Tore his patella or Achilles last year, but look for him to win the starting job over Beanie Wells.
Okay, I'll make sure to look out and look out for our. We'll do it. We're going to be doing a fantasy football special. Feel free to send us any fantasy football questions leading up. What's our email address? It's
I don't know, show at...
SportsGamblingPodcast.com. Yeah, so show at SportsGamblingPodcast.com if you guys have any questions.
Also, send them over to the Twitterverse.
Yeah, that's probably easier. Just tweet us at Gambling Podcast. We'll be going back and forth with our fantasy updates. And
we're going to very happy to... I guess it's unofficial, but we'll be introducing Chris Lutz to the world.
Yes.
In the form of the fantasy preview.
We'll have to
lock that down. We'll have to call his agent.
Yes, our Uber fan. He's one of the most excited NFL fans I've ever been around, which is kind of weird because he doesn't.
You don't need the NFL part. One of the most excited people in general.
Yes, and then just take. He's admittedly has some ADD, so he just basically goes off on the NFL and just it's great to see his enthusiasm. He's a great guy to be around. He's a great guy to if you're on the same side of a winning bet with Chris Lutz, it's a lot of fun. So we'll bring him in here. He's also a huge Madden junkie, so maybe we can talk a little bit Madden.
Big Manning fan.
Yes, he's a huge Peyton Manning fan. He's also a Vikings fan and a Broncos fan. So I imagine this year he's separated.
He grew up in Minnesota, lived in Colorado, was a big Bronco fan, and when they traded away Cutler and Scheffler, he officially separated for them for a couple years with them for a couple years, and now I think he's getting back together. They're going to give it a second go around.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. So who do you like, Ryan?
I'm with you. I like Arizona. I think Drew Brees probably isn't going to play much, and you know, I don't know how much I trust Chase Daniels behind Drew Brees. I know they got the system.
Oh, yeah, their system has got to be total shit.
It's not indoors. I think Arizona has a lot.
Arizona's used to the hot weather. Feels like there's a little more competition, especially at the quarterback position.
Yeah, and the over-under. What are you thinking?
Now, over-under preseason game is pretty crazy. I'm just going to go something generic and say 42 points.
Yeah, they're always a little lower. You pretty much, general rule of thumb, take the over-under, or take what would be the over-under in the regular season and chop it by like 4 or 5 points. It's 37 points.
Oh, wow. So yeah. I definitely like the over there.
Well, you got to remember, it's the scrub. You get a lot of scrub action, so.
Yeah, but you got scrubs on defense, too. That's what I'm saying. That's why I like Arizona. I think Skelton's going to be able to come in against a second team, New Orleans, and be able to move the ball.
And the number one thing is that the defenses are always ahead of the offenses at this point in camp.
That is true.
I'd say let's go with the roll with the dog and the under.
Oh, you like the under? You think 37?
I'm taking the under. I'm rolling with the dog and the under.
All right, my play is a big play on Arizona, a small play on the over, but I kind of see Ryan's logic. I would just take Arizona, to be honest.
I mean, honestly, if you're going to do anything, like
Arizona money line.
Well, if you're going to take an over, I almost think the first half over might be the better play when you have the better caliber offenses out there. But even that, I just think defenses are ahead of offenses at this point in preseason, so I might just take, you know what? I'm going to take the under in every preseason game from the Hall of Fame game through week one of the preseason.
All right. Well, let's keep a little going.
I'll be betting on each one. So.
All right. I like that. So how many preseason games are there?
All right. So we got one game on the 5th. We got 5 on the 9th. We got 5 on the 10th. And then 2 on the 11th, 1 on the 12th, 1 on the 13th. So that's, 4?
15? Something like that?
Yeah, we got 15 preseason games.
All right.
So I'm taking the under on every game. We'll see how that works out.
So just these first 15?
Yeah, just week one.
Okay, week one. All right. I like it. 15 over-unders. You're laying the under.
I mean, there's some trends. That if you must bet on the preseason, there's a couple of things you should know. Defenses are always ahead of the offenses. Week three in the preseason is the week where they let the starters play into the second half.
Yeah, do people – now, is this common knowledge? Should we explain the basic way that coaches traditionally run there?
So week one and two, you're typically going to see a little of the starter. And then usually what happens is your quarterback three and four usually will trade off games. They'll play like a 1.5 to 2 quarters. So what I would guess is in game one, you're going to see the starter for about a quarter. And then you're going to see the backup and the third string split the rest of the time. And then maybe the next game you'll see – the starter for a quarter and the backup in the fourth string or something like that. It depends on who they're trying to look at, but the big thing is that game three, you're going to see the starters play and usually a full half.
Yeah, usually a full half, if not some of the
and
third
then
quarter.
The fourth game is when you see the starters might only play a series.
Yeah,
they're trying to get roster spots filled. So, I mean, that's another week where the under might come into play because you're going to get a lot of less than NFL caliber players playing.
Yeah, no, that makes
but
sense.
But yeah, I'll start posting to Twitter each game and what the under is, so you guys can keep track of
that.
my awesome idea.
Sounds like a sound gambling logic.
And honestly,
right?
I'm gonna take that a little further. I'm taking every underdog and every under.
All right, so
there's
that's
no
what,
reason
bets?
To have a point. I mean, these games should all be pick 'em. There's you're betting on dudes that you know.
Right.
Probably will never play in NFL. 3/4 of these games will be contended by guys who will play very minimal NFL snaps.
If any. I mean, in the fourth quarter.
They might not be on an NFL team.
Yeah, the fourth quarter, most of the guys you're seeing are just battling for a practice squad
spot. Yeah, at best.
Yeah.
They're battling to get a paycheck in a month.
All right, Ryan, anything else we should touch on leading up to the NFL season?
I don't know. We should. We definitely should, on top of the fantasy preview, we also need to do a NFL season prop preview.
Okay.
Obviously. And, yeah, I don't know. Of course, I guess I could promo my, on top of my trip, September 30th out to Vegas, I will be, myself and our good friend Chris Lutz will be headed out to Vegas opening weekend to participate in a live fantasy draft and just watch football all weekend.
Now, break down, what's this fantasy draft exactly?
So, Lutz, who, as we mentioned, very excitable and excited, called me. Basically, the premise is you go out there, you pay, it's around $1,800 for a team. A little crazy. And you draft, you're in a 12-team league, you draft your team, and essentially weeks 1 through 11 in the season are your regular season, 12 and 13, you play off in your 12-team league, and if you come in the top two, or maybe it's just win, you go on to this battle royale for $200,000. And basically, Lutz is like, Kramer, what's better? Going to Vegas, drafting fantasy, watching football, getting drunk, playing Black Chip Pie Gal. So it should be a pretty awesome weekend.
Now, wait, is this when do you actually go out? When's the actual draft?
It's the draft is after the Cowboy-Giant game. It is that Saturday.
Now, see, that to me is asinine. Now, why? Now, how does that work? How do you do? You've already had all these players who've played the
just
opening night
game.
Wednesday
game.
You just get
their points. I thought it was stupid at first too, but I really it makes more sense to have it and so you can go out for the weekend and watch the game.
No, Sunday. It just more makes it's more the NFL being an asshole.
Yeah.
Not allowing you. Yeah, because if you fly out for an $1,800 fantasy league, you want to be able to watch your players, especially week one, if you're making a especially guys who don't get to go out to Vegas as regularly as we do, Ryan.
That's right.
All right. I think we touched on some preseason football. Got our whistles wet here for the NFL action. I'm just following the training camps, waiting for that edge, looking at, you know, this. It's just great, man. It's a great time of year. It's a great time to be an optimistic NFL fan.
So, just real quick, speaking of whistling, so you can't say the word shit on TV, but Flo Rida can have a whole song about blowjobs. No problem.
Yeah, wait, what's his song?
Called Whistle.
is that what's code for blowjob?
Well, do yourself a favor. Listen to the song. It's clearly about blowjobs. Yet, and no one has a problem with the song. It's on every like pop station. I don't get this world. Maybe it's okay because he's a black guy. I don't know. The music video is just him on the beach in like Mexico. It's really funny.
Well, that's like that Dave Chappelle bit. He's like skeet skeet skeet. Yeah. He's like they have no idea what that means. They would never allow that.
The white people don't know what they're talking about.
Well, yeah, and it'd be racist to like crack down on African American slang. Yeah. So, you know, that goes right. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. Make sure you go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Rate us on iTunes. Also, Stitcher. We are one of the top-rated NFL podcasts, so make sure you guys check us out. You can favorite us. Stitcher is a great little program. It's essentially you just throw it on your phone. Instead of downloading the episodes, you can just stream it live. It's a great little app. Make sure you check that out. They got tons of great podcasts on there besides ours. And make sure you hit us up on the old Twitter, @GamblingPodcast. We'll be really picking things up here once the NFL action gets going.
Vacation's over. Also, we should probably, at some point, we'll promo a little, we'll do a pick'em. We'll do a pick'em group for the Sports Gambling Podcast.
Okay.
Offer up some prizes.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe some shirts and podcast swag.
Who knows? Maybe some cash prizes. See how generous I'm feeling.
All right. I like to hear that. All right. Now, this is for the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm Sean, Stacking the Money Green, and he is Ryan.
Big Money?
Kramer. Let it ride.